Well, howdy. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Yeah, glad to be here at church. I'm glad to see you guys. Y'all have a good Christmas week, good Christmas day. Yeah? Yeah, I think we got some kiddos in here. Kids, y'all have a good week? Yeah, okay. Moms, dads, probably ready for school to start up again. Yeah, okay. Well, glad that y'all are here with us this morning. My name is Danny Hannon. If we've not had a chance to meet, I am our men's ministry director here at the church. And just so glad that you're here this morning. If you're worshiping with us online, we're just so glad that you're here, whether in this space or online, we're glad to have you. I know we've got a great morning for what God's got for us, and I'm just excited to be present with y'all today. So with that, we're going to just jump right into Scripture. I'm not going to waste any time, just going to get right into it. If you don't have a Bible with you, please raise your hand. Our ushers will start handing them out. If you don't have one for you to keep, we want you to take this as our gift. If you don't already have one, please take this. And we're just, again, glad that you were here this morning, so take this as our gift to y'all. But we're just going to jump right into Scripture. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So as you're pulling out your Bibles, turn there now, and we will read together, and we'll see what God has for us this morning. So starting in verse 1, here's what it says. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them the time that the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Let me pray for us and we'll see what God has. Lord, thank you so much for this time and for this space. I thank you for what you're doing in each one of our hearts. I thank you that for a purpose you have drawn us into this space. And I thank you for the words that you will flow from my mouth to open hearts and open minds to receive them. Lord, be with us now. Fill this space and let us just continue to glorify you in all that we do and all that we say. Father, we love you and we trust you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So, my wife is amazing, Jenny. End of sermon, time to go home. I'm just kidding. I told her that I was going to do that, and now she's actually in this one, so I got to be careful what I say, I guess, in this one. The last service, not so much. No, I joke because my wife, y'all, she wins. Like, moms, y'all win. Like, she's had 3 kids. Like, she wins. She wins. You know, it's not a competition, but I'm not going to walk in and be like, "Hey, babe, I think I cut my..." Nope, you win. You had 3 babies. I'm not even going to go there. No, it's not a competition. I probably complain a lot more than she ever would. But my point is that seeing what moms can do, it's unbelievable. And I'll never forget, 29 years old, I'm 3. I'll remember this because I used to tell her, "I just want a baby before I'm 30. 3 weeks before I'm 30, we're headed in. We waited to the last minute, but it was great. So we go to the hospital, and here we are. Now, for me, I was like a frequent flyer. Like, it's kind of one of those moments where I walk to the hospital, and they were like, "Hey, Danny!" You know, like, they just knew me. You know, all the bones I've broken, multiple surgeries, you name it. I was a frequent flyer. But I'm also, any guy who knows me, especially in the men's ministry, would know I can tend to be a control freak, and I've got to have everything planned out, and I've got to have a plan, and we're going to take charge, and we're going to do this. So, like with fatherhood, you know, I'm a 29-year-old hothead who thinks I've got everything in my life under control. None of us have been there, right? Like, so I'm thinking, I got the books. I've read how to do this. Even if it happens at home, I'm ready to go. You know, I've read the parenting manuals. Y'all remember all that. I am, like, completely prepared for whatever contingency we have. And because I'm basically a doctor with how much I spent in a hospital, like, She needs me, right? This is going to be great. And I'm like, and she's sitting here going, we went to have the baby? Like, wait a second. So we get to the hospital, and there's this moment where, you know, and you moms who've been there, you remember this, but there's this moment where she actually, for Jenny, she had to be induced. And there were some things that they wanted to check on with Tori, the baby coming. It's like, hey, we need to induce Jenny and have everybody ready just in case. So here we are. They've got her hooked up to all the machines and, you know, got the IV pumping her full of fluid. And it's go time, right? We are completely hooked up. And there's this moment where she's getting out of the bed. And I need to pause there and say, when I say that I was a frequent flyer, literally Jenny's first time in the hospital was when she was born. And then the next time was when she's giving birth. Right? So here, again, I'm like, she needs all of my expertise on how this goes. So I know, you see, this is ridiculous. I know, I'm hearing it out loud. I got it. But she gets up out of the bed and I'm like, baby, wait, stop. Do you see the car battery that you're hooked up to? Like this has to go with you. Right? And she's like, oh yeah. So she grabs it and beep, beep, beep. She's walking to the restroom. So again, I'm justifying in my mind, I have a role to play. She's going to depend on me. It's going to be great. Okay, so here we are. we're almost ready for go time. And they've given her the epidural and everything's ready to go. And then, you know, I'm like this, like that. And Jenny's like, wait a second, I still feel a lot of pain. And the doctor's like, no, that you'll feel pressure. And she's like, no, I know the difference from pressure and pain. I'm feeling pain. And now, so again, I'm not really a doctor, but what I understood, what the doctor was explaining is on the very rare occasion, sometimes the epidural misses the mark. It's actually a fine point, and sometimes it misses. And unfortunately, there's like a zero barrier that once you're so far into the delivery process, you can't redo it. And so best of luck, right? And so I'm hearing this, and I'm looking at Jenny, and I'm understanding it. Jenny's listening, but not hearing. Right? And she's, you know, and again, that little guy on the shoulder is like, hey, Danny, you should explain this to her. I love it. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And so fortunately, the Holy Spirit steps in and he reminded me of my father-in-law's words where he said, today's not the day to be right. Okay? So I'm here, I'm with all, and I got her and I said, honey, you're right. The doctor's a moron. He doesn't know what he's doing. We'll get through this together, right? So I aligned myself, and it was awesome. And Tori came, no complications. It was incredible. My wife, natural childbirth. I don't know how she did it. There's no way. I will never complain of anything in my life. Of course, she's like a liar, but I will try not to complain. But the point is I remember here's this moment, and they've handed me Tori 7 pounds, 8 ounces, and I'm holding her, and I went, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, right? There's that moment where it just got real, real, right? And I'm like, I don't know what to do next. Now, you moms, like, that's God's gift to y'all. Somehow you go from not knowing what to do to, like, just instinctively, you just know. And us dads are like, how do I hold it this way? Is it like a football? You know, like, where, is it okay to, like, that's the angle here? But, so I realized, I'm like, I need help. I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. I absolutely need help. And of course, I love about grandparents, you know, that's where we see like, okay, let's find people who've gone before us, right? Let's find our mentors. You look at the grandparents, and what I love about grandparents, you guys do. You have all the answers. You know what to do. You just don't want to give them out. It's one of those moments of, oh, you'll figure it out, right? Life and death, we'll step in. Short of that, you'll figure it out. Good luck. No. But have we ever had those moments in our lives where you're like, man, I just feel lost. I thought I had everything under control. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I knew the direction that my life was going to go. Maybe God has like revealed himself in some way to you and you're like, what was that? Like, what? Where do I do with this? Where do I go from here? The point is we are all asking these questions all the time. It's never ending. And the truth is friends, everybody in this room, you've come in here today because you are on a seeker's journey. You're seeking. Some of us seeking something different than others. Maybe it's the first time you've come into a church. Maybe something happened on Christmas Eve and you're like, what was this? I got to come back. I don't know what this is. Maybe the first time you're actually seeking something. Others have been doing this for 60 years, but God is still revealing new things to you. He's still wanting to draw you to himself. And so we're all on a seeker's journey. Now, with the wise men, they knew that they were seeking the Christ. For many of us, sometimes we don't realize that it is, in fact, Christ that we're seeking. But everything that God does, he's wanting to reveal himself to you and make himself known and to reveal the Christ to you. So that's what we're going to jump into today. Today, we're going to look at the journey of the wise men is where we're at. And I want to go back to verses 1 and 2 to kick us off, to see where we can relate to the wise men's journey. Now, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him.'" Just see what happened there? We saw his star when it rose. Here's the first point of today, guys. God will meet you where you are. God will absolutely meet you where you are. Look at what's happening to the wise men. You see, wise men is actually comes from the term magi. And magi is translated as in they were astronomers. They studied the stars. God showed up in their field of study. He knew that this is how I would get their attention, in their field. So he will absolutely meet you where you are. You don't have to go find him somewhere. All the time, you can look everywhere, whether you're a builder, a scientist, an engineer. Somewhere along the way, God is wanting to reveal himself to you, and he usually shows up in your field of study, and where you are currently is where he will show up. I think of my buddy Sean. Some of y'all know him. He's a physician, a surgeon, and I love his testimony, his story. He would tell you that it was science that actually he used to refute the existence of God. All the way through medical school, he's like, no, this, you know, I can use this to refute it. Until he actually gets into his field, until he actually starts studying, until he actually starts preparing for surgeries, and he's understanding how mitochondria, don't ask me, I'm not assigned to it, mitochondria, how all this works, all this, and he goes, actually, that's when God showed up. And he goes, see, in medicine, I have shown you that God exists, that I exist. And so it was that point that Sean was like, what is this? Like, okay, God, if you're real, show me this. And he got on a seeker's journey. So it was where Sean was is where God revealed himself. So friends, God will meet you where you're at. He met the wise men where they were in their field of study. Now, what I love about the wise men's journey is the challenge is we have to have our eyes open. Our eyes open and ready to take that next step. I call it, do you have the guts to pull the curiosity string? Right? Something's happened. He's revealed something. A question has stirred in you. You're also like, what is this? Like, are you willing to go, okay, where does this lead? Or are you like, nah, I'm just going to ignore it. You see, for the wise men, they obviously went, wait a second, we got to go find out. They pulled that curiosity string. And here's where we go for the next point. Then the second point for today is you can't find him if you don't seek him. You can't find him unless you seek him. You've got to be willing to take that step forward. When something happens, when something's revealed, a question stirs in your soul. Are you willing to step forward? Are you willing to keep going? Because we, in this moment, we can so quickly pass over this because we read scripture in a certain way and you can gloss right past it where it says, we came from the east. Y'all, this isn't like Cyprus to Faith Bridge. It isn't that. It isn't like, you know, let me pop over, see, you know, Pastor Ken, and I got a question for him. Like, it's not that. They were coming from the Asia area, right? Like, the Far East, traveling to the capital city of Jerusalem. If you've seen a map, you know that it isn't just right down the corner, right? They were committed to the journey. They had to seek, okay? This isn't a one and done, all right? It now requires a response from us, okay? God's just not going to, like, keep going. And it's like, it requires us to be willing to take the step, right? So that's what the wise men did. So we can't find him unless we're willing to seek him. Now, the sad truth is what do they find when they get there? What do they find? Like, you would think when you're headed to the capital city on what would be their July 4th, right, their Independence Day, the Christ has been born, they're going to the capital. And what do they find? They're expecting to find celebration. But instead, look at verse 3. It says this, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Makes sense. He's Herod. Like, hey, new king in town, kind of threatening my rule, right? But what does it say after that? And all of Jerusalem with him. How disappointing. the capital city of their faith, and Jerusalem was troubled, right? So what we find now is then it continues in verse 4, it says, and so now Herod's like, okay, wait a second. Let's assemble all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. And he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. You see, now Herod, we get it. Herod's walking in. He's like, okay, guys, look here. New king in town. Not okay with this. Kind of threatens my rule. We got to figure out where this guy's at. Y'all got to help me, right? So he circles up the team, right? Who does he circle up? He circles up the chief priests. They know this. And the scribes. He's like, where was this to be born? Now, here's that moment where I want to pull off to the side of the road for just a second. Because this is where my heart is broken. And I really feel like as I was pulling all this together, I was feeling very convicted through this. And we all have to ask ourselves a bit of a question, okay? So again, we go back to this. Herod's threatened a bit, right? That makes sense. But all of Jerusalem troubled with him? What is happening right now? And so now there's a moment when we read this, we can stop and go, when in my life, I'm asking myself this, when in my life have I been Herod? Or have I been one of the chief priests? Herod, we get, he was threatened by Christ, the reign of a new king. He's like, don't touch my stuff, right? We've said that, I've said that. And I'm like, okay, wait, Lord, like, I'm good with you fixing this area of my life, but leave this one alone. I'm kind of good with this one, right? Like, don't touch my stuff, right? Herod was threatened by the reign of a new king. But the other truth is look at the chief priests. What was their response? Because again, everybody will give a response to Christ. It's one of three things. We either say, get away, because don't mess with my stuff, right? Or with the chief priests, the guys who knew scripture, they knew, they're quoting Micah 5:2, right? They're saying, this is where he's going to be born. Flat quote, they knew it. But did they know it? Were they expectant? Were they wanting to see God reveal it? Were they wanting to see God fulfill that prophecy? Instead, we see apathy and indifference. This is where it's at. I'm asking myself, when have I gone through the motions? When I'm like, yeah, it'd be nice to see revival, but yeah, I'm okay. When have I checked the box of Sunday morning or any of those times in my life where I have an indifference towards God? Like, that'd be nice, but maybe I could go either way. I pray that that's not where we are. I don't want to be a Herod. I don't want to be a chief priest or a scribe. What I want to be is the wise men who say, God, I want to see you do a revival. I want to see you come alive. I want you to reveal more and more and more to me. It's never enough. It's not a one and done. I want all of it. I want everything you have, and I want to know what you mean by this. And when I figure that out, then I want to know, what did you mean by this? I want all of us to be on a seeker's journey, seeking him and his truth. And the good news is he will give us what we ask for. He will continue and give us what we ask for. And that's where we now look at verse 9. What happens next? Hopping back on the road here, what happens next? They get their bearing, they get their heading, right? They said it's born in Bethlehem. So then Herod's like, okay, go out, wise men. Go figure out where he's at. Bring word back to me so I can worship. But we look at verse 9 and what happens? How does this go? After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. I love this because what's happening is God is saying, look, a work that I will do, I will complete. I will confirm. Like, he's not saying, I'm going to give you one glimpse, and then good luck. Best of luck to you guys. He will continue to do the work that he started. He put them on the path, and he keeps them on the path, and he stays with them. And he appears again to guide them where they're going. So he will do that for you as well, friends. And then we look at verse 10, where he says, so when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And this now leads us to my third point is sometimes you guys can ask, or you may be like, oh, this is a great message, Danny. But like, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of stars just like appear in my living room and lead me to where I need to go. Like, how do I apply this? Will I see a star? Like, is that going to happen for us? Like, sometimes I feel like I'm just kind of walking out here and I don't know where I'm going. So how does God confirm what he's doing in me? You ready for this? Super simple. Point number 3, God's word, this book, is our compass. This is our star. Okay? They get their bearings and they're sent on their way and the star appears. We have a star in God's word. But here's the thing, friends. You can't just pick this up one time and think you're going to get on target. It ain't going to happen. I love props. All my guys know that I love props. So let's see how good you guys are. If anybody know what that is? Anybody see? Can y'all see that? You guys know what this is? Y'all see it? Somebody say it. Compass. Very specific compass. We would call this a land navigation compass. It does a whole lot of good work. There's a lot of, there's rulers on it. I have a magnifying glass. I have arrows. I have kilometers. I have miles. I'm able to spin the dial, line up magnetic north, true north, all of that. And I can use this when I'm using a map. This is needed to go with a map, right? I got my map, got this, figure out where I'm going. Here's the thing. Why do I call God's word a compass? Okay, think of it this way. If I am trying to get on target that's like 10 miles or 10 kilometers away, and I got a long distance to go, right? Yes, I pull out my compass at the beginning, but can I get there if I pull it out one time? I can't get there if I pull this out one time. Because guess what? Inevitably, life throws a mountain at you. Life throws a tree at you. Sometimes they're not huge mountains. They can just be a tree that I have to go around. Right? There's a river that I've got to cross. There's something. Life throws things at us. Well, just like when I'm trying to get to a certain point, if I look at this one time, I'm not going to get there because the truth is, guys, circle's got 360 degrees, right? Okay? At 359, so 1 degree off. I'm almost there. I mean, I'm super close. 1 degree off for 10 miles, I will miss my target by 3 football fields. Okay? 3 degrees off. Still pretty darn close, but if I pull this out one time and I walk at 357 degrees instead of 360, right, 3 degrees off, I'll miss it by half a mile. I'll miss my target by half a mile. Okay, friends, God gave us a compass. He gave us a star, but I can't pick this up one time and think I'm gonna get on target. Okay, I always have to keep. So every time when you're using a compass and you're out there, you walk 100 meters and check it again. Okay, I get to that obstacle that got in my way. I got to go around it. Let me get my bearings. Let me get back on point. Let me pull this out again. It's the same way with scripture. But the other thing is if you've never used a compass, you're going to be like, I don't know how to, what is that? Is that a K kilometers that I don't understand. Like if you don't know what this is, you also can't use it. You got to practice with it. Right? We have to use this so that when we do get hit with a mountain, I know where to turn. When we do get hit with something, I've got God's word to remind me what he says to me and about me, right? And then the other thing I love about a compass is it points where? North. Who is our true north? Where does this point to? Points to Christ. Everything in here points to the redemption and restorative work that God is doing through Christ. That's the true north. Guess what? There's your star. He's given us a star. We got to pick this up and we got to use it. We got to use it all the time. And we got to keep going with him because he wants to show you. He wants to show you Christ in his word and in your life, right? And so then that's when we get to that point where what happens when we see for the wise men, they've gotten their point, they've gotten their star, they're on the target. They're using their compass via the star, okay? And then they get there, and what happens? Going into the house, verse 11, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down, and they worshiped him. When you come into contact with Christ, you can't not fall to your knees in worship. When you truly have that interaction with Christ. Because here's the thing, guys. This child that they've come to worship and give gifts to. For them, this was a child. This was their Messiah. This was the Savior. For us, this is the man who had put himself on a cross to pay your debt and my debt, to bring us back into unity with God, that we may know new life and know hope and know peace and know joy, and we may know life. That's who this child is. So when we come in contact through his compass, through his star, and you discover who Jesus was, that he rescued you from your brokenness, you will fall to your knees and say, Lord, thank you. I can't do this any longer. I need you. and I worship you and I praise you through these storms. This is where you end up when you now meet Christ. You will worship when you realize that this is the man who put his life on a cross for you. We worship. And what I love is, where does this lead us? When we've had that interaction and you've realized now that this is the man who saved your life by giving of his own, and now you've worshiped him, you will be changed. Look at verse 12. What do the wise men do? It says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. By another way. You will be changed when you come in contact with Christ and you worship Christ. You will be changed by Christ. It's our final point for the morning. Those who worship will be changed by Christ. You will be changed. But the good news is this where you're like, well, that's great. Like, but is this like a Herod moment where you gotta be like, fine, I gotta give up my stuff. And I guess it's just, man, if Jesus wants me, I gotta get rid of all this. No, what happens is now you want to be changed. You want something different. You want something new, right? But, here's the but, you will be changed. You're gonna want more. But I think of what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:14. What does Paul say to Timothy? And it's a word to all of us. Guard the good deposit given you. Guard the good deposit given you. Here's the thing, guys. I don't give myself a deposit. I didn't give myself the Holy Spirit. I didn't give myself salvation. That was the gift that God gave me, right? But this is not a passive participation here. It's an active participation that when we've received that gift, we do have to put things in place to protect and guard that gift, to keep moving forward, right? He doesn't do it for us. So this is where we have to find ourselves at saying, you know what? I want to be different. I want something new. I can't go hang out with those people anymore. I can't go to that establishment anymore. I can't quite literally take this road home. I have to find a different way home, because to do so puts me in a place of temptation, and I don't want that. I don't want to be reminded of that. I want something different. So we do have to protect that deposit. I think of a buddy of mine, Mike. He would share this story about a unit that he was a part of, was not a healthy place, right? When he was in the military, it was not a healthy place. And he was finding himself doing things that he really didn't want to be doing. And all of a sudden, he realized he's putting his own marriage and family and his own life at risk. And he's got to take a different way home. Now, what I love about this is, instead of, well, the first reaction is, okay, well, to keep my family, I better do this. Then he has an interaction with Christ, and he sees him, he sees Christ, he feels him in his life, and no longer was it, let me take a different way home because I want to save my family. It was, I want to take a different way home because I am a new being in Christ, and I want this for me, and my family gets the blessing of it. And so that's when he began to change. He says, I can't hang out with these guys after certain times. We still work together, we still train together, we still do these things. You can't always just say, well, let me just jump out of everything I'm in. But God can help you say, you know what, put some protections in, put some barriers in place. Just don't do this at certain times. And so some relationships got a little harder, but a lot of all the other relationships blossomed because now he became more trustworthy. Like, they saw him as a new man, right? So, but he had to put in the things that kept him and to protect what God was doing in him. So quite literally, we sometimes have to put in those barriers and say, I'm gonna take a different way home. But the good news is he's doing a work in you, and you will want that. You will want that for yourself. And so now you're going, okay, Danny, this is great. This is wonderful, solid message. I get it. Like, we got our star, we got our compass. This is great. Like, but what do I do from here? Again, I go back to this point going, we had a great Christmas Eve and I felt something, but how do I protect it? How do I guard this thing? How do I keep getting these questions answered? And this is where I would say the most practical way is two things. The greatest resources that God has given us is, like I said earlier, his compass. It's God's word, right? We always go back to that. But the other one is community. It's our community. It's people in this room right now. Like, Christianity is not a solo sport. It is not. It takes people that you're standing shoulder to shoulder with. It takes the community to be with you. Just like when I'm standing holding my sweet daughter Tori, and I'm realizing, going, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know what I'm in for. I know I need help. You guys will be pleased to know that she's now 12, about to be 13, so let's come back to that later. Maybe I'll preach on that in a few years of teenage years. But I realize, I'm like, I need help. I need other dads who don't know what they're doing to be with me. I need the older dads who've gone before me, right? So for specifically friends, I want to challenge you. Let 2025 be a new year for you. Let this be the place where you go, you know what? I need to spend more time with my compass. I need to spend more time with my compass. And the other thing is you know what? I need community. Men's ministry here, a lot of guys in this room know it's exploding. And men are feeling new life by being with their brothers every single week. Women's ministry, same way, it's erupting. We have mom's studies, we have women's studies, we have all these things, but women are finding their community, their place to know, going, you know what, you got this mom, like, this is new to me. Oh, older moms, I'm with you. Just like the same with dads, but find your community, guys. This is not a solo sport. We need to do this together. That's how we continue on our seeker's journey. So I learned something new today. The next day, it's going to be something else. The next day, it's going to be something else. We keep going. And the other thing that we do as a family is we come together to remember what Christ did for us on a cross. We remember the debt that he paid. And so we have, just like he did, we have a supper with him, so to speak. And friends, I want to encourage you. If this is the first time that you've heard this message, as we come now into our time of communion, I want to encourage y'all, if you've never received Christ in your life, now's the time. If you're hearing my words, God has brought you into this room for a reason. You are seeking something. And it's the true north that he's been wanting to reveal to you this whole time. And friends, if you've been on this journey for a long time, there's always something new that he's revealing. There's always something new that he takes you even deeper and deeper into his life and what he wants for your life. And so we continue on this journey. And by doing so, one thing we remember is in the final day, the night that he was betrayed by his people that he loved, he had a final meal with his disciples, and he took the bread, he gave thanks over it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body which has been broken for you." Been broken for you. You got to remember, the wise men were here to worship the baby. We are now worshiping the man who 30 plus years later would put himself on a cross and break his body. Christmas was the beginning. And then after the meal, he then took the cup and he first gave thanks over it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take of this cup and drink in remembrance of me, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sins of all the world, yours and mine and all." His blood was shed for the forgiveness. Friends, this is not Faithbridge's table. This is Christ's table. And it is open for all who would receive, all who want to say, you know what? I want to continue on this journey, seeking what God wants for me, because he's revealing Christ. And so I want to encourage you, after I pray at the direction of the ushers, they will guide you to the stations where you can take a gluten-free wafer and you can dip it into the grape juice and partake from there. And wherever you are, find time, whether it's at the stage to pray, whether it's in your chair, just be present with the Lord as we sing and continue to ask those questions. And we are always available if there's any questions that you have as you continue on your journey. Just keep pulling that string. Keep going forward. Let me pray for us now as we go into communion. Lord, thank you so much for this time and for this space. I thank you for the work that you have begun in all of us. We are here for a reason and are listening and hearing this message. You are calling us. You're calling us. And so I thank you. I thank you that you're constantly revealing yourself and you don't just leave us out there to dry. You are showing yourself over and over and over again. And we praise you for that. And then, Lord, for what you did on this cross. We thank you. All we have is a hallelujah to give you. There's nothing else we can give but to say thank you, Lord. And we accept it and we praise you and you are holy. So let us feel this in this time. Lord, thank you for the work that you've done and the work that you continue to do. Be with us now as we continue in worship. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.